We are starting a whole 15 minutes later than we intended to because we were busy watching Elsa, Dr. Cockroach.
Clear this up. Dr. Cockroach from Monsters vs. Aliens? With the
Yeah,
little
that really
mustache.
clears things
Well, he
up.
looks like a big bug guy. And then Elsa from Frozen. And so it's supposed to be a fanon about them, but like halfway through the edit, Sal from Impractical Jokers shows up. And I couldn't contain the like humor that bubbled up inside me seeing Sal's face. Because then I think Sal's line where they like, it's like those edits, those like mashup edits where they like they put the caption. It's like a silent movie. It's like our generation's version of a silent movie, where they have to put the captions on.
Oh, and
And
it
Sal's like,
specifically said AI could never do this. Or there was a comment. There
it's
was a comment that said that.
a god.
In
But
case
yeah,
anyone
that's
wants to watch that, it's from at X underscore cyanide, which is spelled CHEYANIDE underscore X. You guys should get on that.
I would like to thank them for making me laugh so incredibly hard that my stomach hurt in the middle of a laundry room because I was watching this edit, just scrolling while I was doing my laundry, and Sal popped up being like, "Oh my gosh, I have to admit he's so attractive." Talking about Dr. Cockroach from Monsters vs. Aliens, he's the only human that shows up in this edit, like real person human. Everyone else is an animated or cartoon character, and he's the only one. And then there's like a part two with Martin Scorsese, Pufferfish from Shark Tale, and you just gotta watch it. You just had to be there. But anyway,
I'm Issa.
I'm Chell.
We haven't recorded in a couple of weeks since you went to DC. How is DC?
Oh my gosh, I was about to sing one of the national, I don't know the words. But I do know that, the thing before the Daytona 500 where they're like, "God bless our troops, God bless
No.
America, and gentlemen, start your engine." Anyway, yeah, I went to DC. I haven't been in a few years, so it was cool. I think it's been like 10 years since I'd gone. But the museums are always kind of crazy cool. It's all like free to people. I think more museums should be free.
I didn't know they were free.
The Smithsonian ones are. So,
Need to take a trip there.
yeah, no, it's really cool because like you get to see a lot of sites, things like that, the monuments and stuff. Super weird because I guess like I'm not used to cities with like historical buildings. I feel like in Florida, everything starts from like zero, and it looks like we're like in The Incredibles for some reason.
Can't
Just like
invest
glass buildings
anything.
everywhere.
Yeah, too fancy. We get sinkholes.
Yeah, like it can't be too high, can't be too low. So it was super interesting seeing these like huge stone buildings. Also, museums, great. I love a museum. American propaganda within the museum. Insane. Insane. There was this whole section of like one of the American like museums, and it was like, I can't remember which one it was, but it was like the diversity of America. And then like they were like, as the United States expanded, Puerto Ricans became part of America. And I was like, I don't think y'all read the book. Because that was like they were talking about everyone being like Filipinos became part of America, and it's like all of these things they're like Texan Chicanos became part as America expanded. I was like, America didn't expand, you guys went to war and killed people, and then, like people were still there, so you guys were like, ah, damn, I guess we
Yes, we
like,
have to take him.
yeah. And I was just like, and they were like, but they share their beautiful culture with us. What? What? Anyway, American propaganda is insane, but I did see Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy at one of the museums. So that was a
Nice.
minor win. American propaganda being the foundation of the United States, not a win, unfortunately. But yeah, that was how DC was for me. It's like with America, you know, you're like, I love like the big gulp, but then it's like America is a horrible like country that destroys every other nation in the world. So yeah, that's how DC felt for me.
Yeah.
That was the vibes. Also, they have public transport. What?
Hey, we don't have that.
We don't have that at all.
We have buses. It's just really bad.
It's just like not, but they're like so bad that people don't use them even more.
Should all travel by boat.
Oh.
Boat. Get to a coast. Travel to up the coast. Get on a bus.
Oh,
Free
and they're
boat.
even like only boats, period. I was like, you're only gonna be able to see like the coasts of everywhere.
And that's fine with me.
But yeah, so that was how my past few weeks have been like that plus school. So school's been kind of crazy. Trying to have a social life without spending all of my money immediately. But yeah, how have you been?
I've been chilling. Not much really going on for me. My grandparents were staying here for a bit, and then they went back home last weekend. Yeah,
Oh, okay. You have fun?
that's been not a lot of life updates here. Let me see. Oh, I've seen a lot of movies though. Let me go to my Letterboxd because
Oh,
we've been
pull
forgetting
it
to
up.
talk about movies that we've seen in the beginning, and
The
I know
school
that
movie
people
podcast.
probably. I know people are probably like, I don't understand the difference between the thing you guys do at the beginning and the thing you guys do at the end. None of your business, okay?
Yeah, real. Like, we're the hosts here.
Don't ask questions. This isn't a democracy.
Real.
Okay, so I finally finished theater camp, which I had watched most of, except for like the last 20 minutes. And I forgot a lot of what happened those first maybe 60 minutes. But what I remember was funny. And I wasn't gonna watch it all again. It was good. I wasn't a theater kid. As I like to say, you know, like the John Mulaney joke where God forgot to make him gay. God forgot to make me a theater kid. I was too shy as a child. But it's because of Hamilton. I understand all of like the theater kid references because like the second I got hella into Hamilton at like 15 years old, I was completely immersed in like the memes about being a theater kid, the jokes, the culture. So now I can watch that movie. Like
You
if
were
you're
like,
not a
ha ha
theater kid,
ha.
I'm literally like, if you watch the movie, I can't even remember his name anymore. I think it might be like Glenn or something. There's this guy who's like part of the tech crew who, spoiler, skip ahead 15 seconds. Do you care?
No.
Okay. He has to like save the day and sing, but it's like a children's theater camp and he fully like is not a child.
Okay, wait. Is this like that IO sketch on SNL where it was like, oh my gosh, my last secret. I'm secretly a great singer. Like
No, that's
she's
literally what it is. He's
secretly
like,
a great singer.
I'm just a shy theater guy. And then, like, at some points, he's trying to like help them choreograph and stuff. And he's like, one and two and three, and they're like, you should really be on stage. And he's like, I could never. Anyway, yeah, that's me. That's me. I wish I had been a theater kid. I did not audition for that thing that I said I was going to audition for because
What?
I chickened out and also other complications.
Aww.
But yeah, it was funny. Also to say, got the jokes. Kind of a little embarrassed that I had the knowledge to understand them. Then I watched Upgraded.
Let's look at that.
Interesting. Yeah, there were cute moments. Like I liked it overall. Quality wise, I was just a little confused because I was like, why does she have more moments with mom than with the love interest? I don't know how far you are.
I literally only watched until she got on the plane and then told him that she was actually the director. And then I was paralyzed by cringe and embarrassment of like, this is gonna turn out bad, that I turned off the
Yeah.
TV.
Me
I was
and
like, I can't.
I watched it with Kira over Discord, and the second that comes out of her mouth, we were both like, why?
No, real. Like, why?
Let's see what else. Did I watch anything else? I don't think so.
I watched a movie once.
What movie did you watch?
I watched. Okay, so I did end up watching Pride and Prejudice for Valentine's Day.
Oh, me too, me too.
Yeah, sometimes it burns. But I watched it. I never realized. So I have a copy purchased on YouTube so that when I'm on planes, I can watch it. But usually my plane ride finishes before the movie's done, and I'm like a PE teacher in middle school. I will start from the beginning every time. You never get to the end. So, like, I never got to the end.
Love that comparison.
I do it to myself now. They trained me. But, like, I realized watching it, it's the British version. Like, you don't get the last scene where he's like, Mrs. Darcy, Mrs. Darcy. And I was like, it just ends. It just ends. Like, her dad is like, oh, I'm very at my leisure. Send him in. And then the movie ends. And they're like, duh, nah, 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 nah.
Ending.
And I'm like, w so is evil. I watched the movie Talk to Me about the hand. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I saw
Yeah.
you watch that and I was like, she's so brave. I can never on a plane too.
I watched it on a plane with the little wire headphones. Sometimes that's where I like to watch scary movies because I'm like, everyone's here. Like the like I'm not alone. So I watched it. It wasn't as like creepy as I thought it was gonna be. It was pretty
Okay.
good. Yeah, I think I wanted like it felt kind of short, I'm not gonna lie. It is only like 90 minutes, so it was kind of short, but I think for 90 minutes, what it does is really interesting. Really pretty interesting, I watched Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian because I was literally there. And then on the movie I watched on the ride back was Chain Reaction, which is like it's from the 90s. Keanu Reeves and Rachel Weisz play two scientists, and they basically, you know how like there's this running joke that they'll kill you if you create like hydrogen energy. So like the gas companies will kill you because hydrogen energy is so much more effective than even nuclear.
Did not know this.
Efficient, sorry. So that's a joke. The movie is based on that. They are running away with from their lives because they invented like hydrogen energy as a fuel, and we're going to give it to everyone to like send to every nation and everything to make energy basically free for everyone. So then they have hits on them. Like their entire crew gets killed. There's like a secret government agency that's run by Morgan Freeman, and he's trying to get them. And so Keanu Reeves is just running around. It's very 90s, very much young Keanu Reeves running from police, CIA, FBI, secret orgs. It's that, that's what he does. It was okay. I watched Lisa Frankenstein. That was. I think it was fun. I think it was fun. I think if you're hating on it that hard, it's just like a cash movie. Like you pour vodka into a Slurpee and you have that while watching. You know what I'm saying? It's just
You pour vodka into a Slurpee. Don't expect a Chardonnay, you know?
yeah, like we're not like it's like I'm gonna go pick up a Baja Blast and some dinner. And then pour into the Baja Blast as I watch.
And that's what I want right now.
No, and that's what I need sometimes. Like, sometimes you just need to watch a movie. Like sometimes you just want like a little hee hee ha ha occasionally. Also, I think that what's his name? Was it Cole Sprouse? Pretty good, fun. You know, I haven't
Yeah, the
seen him in
way
a
he like
while.
barely talks in that movie, but is like not carrying, because I still think Catherine Newton is like really good, but like
Yeah.
it's just really impressive because he has like, I'm trying to think if he talks at all. I don't
Like
even
barely
remember.
towards the end. Towards the end, I
Yeah.
think he
Oh,
talks
he's like
like at the
reading,
very
right?
like the last scene. I think Catherine Newton's really good. I think Cole Sprouse was really good. I also think what was it? Her name was Taffy. The actress was Liza
Yes, Liza
Silverano.
Soberano,
Liza,
Filipina.
sorry. Yeah, she was really good too. I think I really liked them and the like dynamic they had also between like Catherine and Liza. I thought it was really good. But yeah, it was fun. I watched the movie Training Day, which is another. Oh, it's 2001, actually. It's
Oh.
Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke. You know, they're.
Another Ethan Hawke. At this point, you should make it your mission to watch every Ethan Hawke movie that exists.
It's just everywhere. I was watching for Denzel, and then like a ton of people started showing up in Training Day. I've just never seen it. And I was like, oh dang. You know, I saw it was like Ricochet and Denzel was in it, and I was like, okay.
When we get our Letterboxd Rewind things the end of this year, you know how it tells you which
Number
actor
one
you
actor.
watched the most? Just be
Just
mentally prepared.
appears. He just appears, I feel like. Like, I feel like he just appears in movies. And then I watched The Lobster. Yeah, I never seen it, but
You think?
it was very interesting. You know, another movie where a dog actor carries, and is
It's always
sadly
that specific kind of breed of
like
dog that they choose.
the fluffy little like spotted dogs. I don't know how to describe them. And like
Like
sometimes they have like
Oreo
one
colored
blue,
shepherd.
one brown, or like eye, but like I don't know. But he did very good at, and I sobbed. Spoilers, when the dog died. Because that woman was evil. And to be honest, I don't care what he turned her into. Anyway. And then I saw The Holdovers for this week.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I guess long debrief for us this week. But yeah, so that is the movie that we're watching, or that we did watch for this week, The Holdovers, in continuation of our Oscars month. I don't know. I don't know if we're still gonna do it next week too. We'll see. Because the Oscars aren't for 2 weeks, so we have 1 week left. Yeah, because I, you were like, what movie do you want to watch this week? And we had already talked about The Holdovers a little bit, like across the past few episodes here and there. And I haven't watched it since I saw it in theaters. And I was like, I don't know, like, what you want to do. I'm feeling a little like Oscar fatigued. Should we watch The Holdovers? Should we watch like Everything Everywhere All at Once, maybe like a throwback to last year's winner? And then we were both like, that will make us both cry. Still not
True.
mentally prepared to do that on the podcast yet. So yeah, we settled on The Holdovers. Would you like to read the Letterboxd summary?
Yeah, so The Holdovers from last year was directed by Alexander Payne. Discomfort and Joy. A curmudgeonly instructor at a New England prep school is forced to remain on campus during Christmas break to babysit the handful of students with nowhere to go. Eventually, he forms an unlikely bond with one of them, a damaged, brainy troublemaker. And with the school's head cook, who has just lost a son in Vietnam. Which I think is an interesting way to place it, but I guess.
I like the word curmudgeonly. Very good word to
Yeah.
describe.
I agree. So I guess just to start off, the three main characters are Paul, played by Paul Giamatti, Mary, who's played by Divine Joy Randolph, and Angus, who is played by Dominic Sessa. And they're kind of all the screen time. I'll be real.
After
And I
like the
love it.
20-minute mark.
Yeah. And I love it. I love so much about this movie. I think watching it at home, like, it was good, but watching it in theaters was some other experience. It
It
was.
just feels like, even though I live in Florida, I expected to step out and it be snowing outside.
Yeah.
You know how when you see a movie like in the daytime and you expect it to be dark outside, even if you went into the movie at like 12 p.m., that is what I expected with the snow.
I agree. I think that, like, when I watched it, I think it was December-ish, maybe the first time. And I was like, oh, like, this is winter. And I was like, maybe I am missing someone, missing something. Like, because, like, I think, like, being in Florida all my life, I never realized, like, we don't really have seasons. And I never really cared about it. And now I'm experiencing seasons. And so the little movies are like, wow, I could see snow one day. And, like, I get it. I get, like, this thing in movies where people are like so excited for spring and summer to come. And I was like, I never understood that because it's like hot all the time in Florida. Like, why do I care? But, like, no, like, for real, it started getting sunny outside and my whole demeanor has changed. I'm like, oh my God, spring is coming. Save us. Yeah. It's so beautiful. That full, like, I think it's like 6 to 7 minutes of intro credits, and it just scenes of like the boys' choir and the outside snowstorm or like snow that's going on is beautiful. I loved it so much. Just sitting there in my theater seat, like snuggled up, being like,
I love it, the way it's made to look like a real like movie that came out in the 70s. Perfection.
yeah, I looked it up. Apparently, they made it crunchy in post.
Oh, so it wasn't
Yeah.
shot on film?
It wasn't like an old camera from the time, so they added a lot of crunchiness in.
Okay, gotcha. So film, but not grain.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think I did see somewhere that it was like available in very few theaters, maybe only like five, to see it. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna start saying things that I look. Neither of us are film students. You know, I'm just gonna shut up and move on. But yeah.
All I know, the terminology I know is crunchy or not. So I guess, like, things I love about this film, I kind of love something bittersweet. And I think this movie has that feeling throughout. Even in moments that are like kind of nice, you're like they hit you with it. So, like, even the Christmas party starts out really chill. Everyone's having a good time. At the end of the Christmas party is not so chill. Everyone's not having a great time anymore. And it's not necessarily super bad, it's just bittersweet. So, like, Paul's character realizes this, like, other teacher that, like, he's kind of got some chemistry with. She has a man's, and he's like, struck down again. And Mary is obviously grieving for her son and listening to songs that remind her of him and that he really liked and stuff. And has been drinking, and it just culminates to a moment of like real like grief and sorrow overtaking her. And so it becomes kind of sour in that moment because she also, like, it's happening at a party, and it's, So I think Angus is just, I think he was like flirting with a girl and then he had to go home. So that was his sentence. But like Paul and Mary are actually very bittersweet in those moments.
Angus's sadness comes later.
Yeah, Angus' sadness is explored, I think, a lot more in Boston.
I think that this movie is just the right amount of sad. It like sets the base to work you up to hopefulness by the end of
Yeah.
it. I guess so. As far as like the letterbox description, I don't mind that they described it as like him watching over a group of students, because I think that that. I mean, I wouldn't really describe it as like a plot twist. It seems like a big word for it. You're just kind of like, oh, Because, like, I think the trailers kind of advertised it so that you're set up to think that it's going to be this, like, again, like, not in necessarily like a misleading way, but in this way that's like Dead Poets Society in Christmas time, you know? Is kind of like what you're set up to expect. And then like 20 minutes in, this one kid's dad is like, okay, we're all gonna go skiing. And then Angus has like a Prisoner of Azkaban moment where like his parents don't let him go to whatever, to like Diagon Alley or whatever you want to call. Where do they go?
They go
Hogsmeade.
skiing.
Yeah,
Oh,
but
what they you
they can't get in touch with them because the mom is like, he was originally supposed to go with them somewhere and then also go to Boston, which I'll get to that in a second. But he is left behind because the mom is like, me and your stepdad haven't had time to like go on our honeymoon yet. And he's like, you've been married for like five ever already. Why do you choose now? And she's like, this is our only chance. So he is left there.
I
And then
would
they
like to
can't even get
say
a hold of him. Yeah.
that phone call with his mother triggered something inside me. I was just like, I was
No,
like,
because like
give me a sign! Give me a sign! What is wrong with
the
you?
first time I watched this, you know, basically, you know, spoiler, 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 if you haven't processed it already, or if you just don't care, keep listening. But so towards not like the end, but maybe like third act of the movie, you find out that like he asks them to go to Boston. Because they've kind of all like warmed up to each other, and all of the other boys have left because all their parents were able to be contacted to give them permission to go skiing. So he's the only student there, and it's Christmas, and Paul is like, anything you want, say the word. I just want to like make you happy. And he's like, okay, shot in the dark, I want to go to Boston. And he's like, no. Mary's like, you said anything he wanted. And he's like, fine, we can go to Boston. And you find out that it's like, because he wants to visit his dad, who's he's been saying like the whole time is dead. And they've been hanging out, bonding the whole time they're in Boston. And then he's like, I'm gonna step out real quick. And he tries to escape. And Paul is like, what the hell? And then he's like, I just want to see my dad. And he's like, yeah, we can go to a cemetery. They pull up to a mental hospital, a mental facility. And it's because his dad was kind of like, I don't know if they say specifically like what he has,
They say it
but
at
some
the
form of
end.
like dementia, probably.
Yeah, it was like he has early onset dementia and paranoid schizophrenia. And so like when Angus does visit him, he's like, they're putting something in my food. And
Yeah, like
so
he's excited to see his dad. And then he realizes like his dad's not really, I mean, he already kind of knew this, but like he couldn't help but want to see him. He's like, yeah, my dad is like not really there anymore. But like the whole film, even before he like asks Paul to go to Boston, he's mentioning Boston. But then like, so when he's on the phone with his mom, he's like, you promised we would go to Boston. And watching this for the second time, I was like, that was why he wanted to go to Boston. 'Cause like all of the boys in this school in the beginning are just like snot-nosed brats, like rich snot-nosed brats. And obviously this guy is being shown to you the most, so you know he's gonna be important, but like you have no other reason yet to expect him to be not like any other child that you're being shown. So you're like, oh, this snot-nosed brat just wants to go to Boston. And he's sad because he can't go to Boston. And you still feel bad for him that his parents are leaving him there. But you're like, boo-hoo, you can't go to Boston. Who cares? And then especially like, so when I saw that, I was like, I wonder why I didn't pick up before that there was like this underlying reason he wanted to go to Boston. But then he says at one point that his dad is dead. I'm like, okay, well, that's probably why. Because, like, that kind of, like, I don't know, maybe if you're, like, extra brain power. You realize he's lying, but I did not. So it
Me
wasn't until
either.
my second watch that I was like, oh my gosh, that's why he wants to go. And like seeing him bring it up throughout the movie leading up to finally asking, gut wrenching when you know already what happens.
Yeah. I think that's why on the second watch, it like triggered something so deep inside me. Because then also, when his mom and his like mom's husband, who's played by that one guy, what was his name? I don't know. He's played by someone. I've seen him before. But yeah. So like, they come and they're like, he's ruined everything. And I'm like, girl, you didn't answer your phone. What are you talking about? Like, this poor boy wanted to see his poor father, who obviously, like, if it's been a while that his dad's been in this facility, he watched the progress of his father's illness and stuff like that. And so that's so tragic because, and also he felt the need to just tell people that his father had died. And like, even the faculty at the school have the impression that his mother's new husband is his dad because they just don't talk about him. And like that picture that one kid who's the worst asshole of them all, like he ruins it. And it's like the one picture of his family all together when he was a kid. It is so sad. It is so sad because they blame him. And the only one who stands up for him is Paul, being like, you will ruin his life doing this, like trying to send him to military school because he wanted to see his dad. And his mom never called them. Like on Christmas, like we see him spend like 2 weeks with Angus, and not once in the movie is it shown that she has called him or been like, oh, I'm so sorry I missed the call, like Merry Christmas or anything. Like very much sent to be at this school so that she can live her new life with her new husband.
She sends like a Christmas card at one point, no words in it besides like the text that already comes on the card that just says like Merry Christmas, and then she signs like Love Mom and Steven or whatever the stepdad's name is, and then she puts in cash, and I think that that like small moment just shows how much like how not just him but a lot of the boys at this school. I mean, he's the only one that's a holdover now. But like before, like there's this moment where Kuntz is the one who's like really annoying and an asshole. He's like, yeah, I have to stay home. And Angus is like, oh, it's because they're renovating? No, it's because they don't want you. And he's like saying all of this stuff. And by the end of the movie, and then when you rewatch it, you realize that like Angus is saying all of his worst fears and projecting all of his fears onto Koontz, but then you see Koontz's face and you're like, but it's hitting home with him too. Like clearly, like
Yeah.
is hitting a sore spot. And all of these boys, which like, yes, they have like privilege. Most of them are white rich boys in the 70s, at this like private boarding school, but like so many of them have been sent there to just like so that their parents don't have to deal with them.
Yeah. I think it's a very delicate balance because also, like, even Paul's character at the beginning of the movie is like, these kids are assholes. They are rich, privileged white guys who are gonna have like a great life ahead of them for forever. And like, I don't care what they do for Christmas. And like, he's pretty consistent about like showing the boys, like, especially Angus, like I think the bar scene where Angus kind of gets in an argument with two guys, and they're like younger guys. They're like maybe in their 20s or something like that. And it's very clear, I think one of them is an amputee. And like, they have a conversation because he's like, do you know how many young men are sent to Vietnam? Like, who were sent to Vietnam and lost not only their lives, but like, maybe they came back and they're like, obviously still victims of war. And then he was like, boys from this school do not get sent to Vietnam except for Curtis Lamb. And like, the relevancy of I think like race and socioeconomic status in being sent to Vietnam and like having these things. And I don't know, it's very interesting because then Paul slowly like also changes a little, being like, oh, like a lot of these boys really do not have families supporting them or anything like that, other than economically. I don't know. It's like a lot going on in that whole sphere.
Like I kind of like jumped from one moment to the next without any clear like connection, but I brought it up because I was like, on top of you seeing that scene between Angus and Kuntz in the beginning, it really the Christmas card really drives it home that Angus is like a prime example of one of these boys who's just being like left there until he's 18 and like legally an adult and they don't have to deal with him anymore. But like going back to the war point, I thought that was really interesting because like in the beginning, they're at this church and there is this like memorial in the church where it's like I think it says something like to all the what is the name of the school? Is it Barton? I think it's Barton.
Is it Barton or is it not Barton? And I'm thinking of like
No,
Pitch
I think
Perfect.
it's Barton and but Pitch Perfect is Barden.
Okay.
Yeah, there's this memorial that says something like to all the Barton boys lost in the Great War. And then it shows you these like different bricks and things of like previous alumni or like, yeah, alumni who have died, not just in the Great War. The thing says either it says the Great War or Great Wars, plural. I don't remember because at this point, World War II has happened because it's the 70s. So maybe
Yeah.
they constructed this like during the First World War and then wars kept happening and they're like, we have space. So yeah, I don't know. I thought that was like really interesting because like we don't see what any of these like boys looked like who did die. But we do see Mary's son, and I don't remember any of the bricks saying Vietnam, but he dies from that war. And then there's that moment where they say like Barton boys don't get sent to war, but then you get this entire wall of Barton boys that have been sent to war. So I thought it was really interesting. And plus, like, there's this constant like threat that Angus is going to be sent to military school. And there's talking the whole time in the movie about how like you're getting the best education here and like so many of these boys are so lazy and Paul rightfully is like just because they're rich I'm not gonna like pass them
Yeah.
because they still need to like work for it and like the dean at one point they're talking about like a previous kid that's already graduated and he's like why didn't you just pass that kid like his dad donates so much money and he's like the privilege that he gets, like the reward he gets for his dad donating money, is an education here. And I just found it ironic that, like, this education is so good and they're constantly like, we invest so much in our students and, like they're paying a lot of money for their sons to be here. And then you have this entire wall of like boys with so much potential that have just been sent off to die. And there's like this line where Mary's talking about like a conversation she had with her son. She was like, he was so like honored to go off to the war because he was like, think of it this way, mom, like I can get free school. Like I can go to college for free, which is still a huge reason why people here join the military. And I don't know, it was just like, oh. Like that part, especially that part where she's talking about that conversation. Like, I'm surprised that people don't talk more about the themes of like, even now, we're still struggling with like a lot of the same issues that they were struggling back in the 70s, which I think is why it was really important that they said it in the time that they did.
Yeah. I think like when I watched the movie and I saw the like wall, it was kind of like a lot of them, or I believe mostly all of them, were from World War II or World War I and II. And I think that the implication for me seeing Curtis Lamb was that I know that in the 70s there was a lot of controversy because congressmen's sons were not being sent to Vietnam. Rich people were not being sent to Vietnam. And I think before, because the previous wars were drafts. And like, I think Vietnam was also a draft, but like people could, it was like ditching the draft, like because you either had money or something like that or power. And so a lot of those people, I think even now it comes up in certain political spheres of like politicians who were of age in Vietnam and like people being like, you didn't serve. Like, and that's like a huge thing because there were hundreds of thousands of other young men who were forced to go to Vietnam because they didn't have money, because they weren't going to a college, because they weren't like, and all of those things are tied to money and race. And so, like, when I was watching it, I was like, Curtis Lamb was a boy who had the privilege of this education, but he didn't have the privilege of money or race. And that's why he was sent to Vietnam. And like, also, like, being proud because he could, you know, in a very, very scary and sad way, like many other people joined the military to get an education or a better life or like health care. And it was just so, I don't know, it impacted me a lot, like watching that. Like, I know that like several family members of mine joined the US military for things like that, like being like, oh, I could get an education. Oh, I could like, I remember my great grandfather served in World War II. And they told him as a Puerto Rican man that if he died, they would give his family a house. It wasn't that if he lived, it was like, if you die, we will support your family. And like putting your life on the line for that is like a real thing that comes with like, if you don't have anything or like you're working for something. And so it's so sad to like, I don't know, watch a movie set in the 70s and be like, you know, several of my like, my grandparents, my great uncles were sent to Vietnam and came back like, very, you know, PTSD, like our studies of that stem from Vietnam. And so, like, I don't know, watching the movie and being like, oh, like, yeah, like, and I guess I'd never seen it. Like, the way the movie sets it is like kind of the contradiction of these very rich white boys to the rest of American society of like what was going on with Vietnam and kind of like even today, how you were talking about like, people join and like the military offers education and things like that and health care and money. And it's so sad because like those are things that our government and like our society should be able to provide for us, you know? And it's so sad that like there are real implications to a lot of these things. And it's very scary and sad. And I just like, I don't know, watching the movie, I was like, I am so lucky to have been able to get an education that like I didn't have to join the military for. Like I'm very fortunate to have that. I'm sorry, that was like a blur,
Yeah,
but
I
that
appreciate
was just so, it was just so
you.
many feelings that like I think that the theme of like Vietnam, but also just like military service and like things like that within the movie were just very strong for me.
And also, like on a smaller scale, you have Mary, whose son like actually died, and she would do anything to have him back, and she's still very much mourning him. And then you have Angus, whose parents could not care less, like where he is, what he's doing, and are actively threatening him with military school, which I can only assume, especially during that time, that the next natural course of action once he graduates is to like go to war. Because like part of being in Barton is you're being provided this ed education under the assumption that like it's gonna kind of get you like easy entry into like an Ivy League. And you know, I don't know how rich his parents are specifically. I mean, he's still at this private school, but it's very implied that like, or is it Fort Worth, that this military school doesn't afford you the same, like it doesn't open the same doors. And like even if you are rich, like that one kid in the beginning that they're talking about, it wasn't enough that he's rich. He still needed like to pass that class in order to get into these like Ivy Leagues and have the grades that he needed. So, you know, something as small as just like, well, not small, but like something like him just like going to a military school instead of the school he's going to now can make a difference between whether or not he ends up going to war. And his parents like just could not, like they just see it as like a punishment.
No, I agree. It's just, I feel like it comes in slices in the movie, but kind of like stepping back from it, it's like you're seeing kind of pieces of the larger picture of Vietnam and the military and like things like that. Sorry, that was a very that's a very
No,
heavy
you're
topic.
good. I mean, I was excited to talk about this because like I haven't seen really like anybody else. I think I maybe saw like one TikTok where someone like alluded to the military side of things in this movie, but like especially after you see it the first time, your thoughts are just like, oh my gosh, vibe. Like, oh my gosh, Christmas, snowboarding school. But yeah, like there's some moments that are moments and like subtext that are pretty heavy. But rewinding a bit, I guess another observation I made was Hoonce, the kid who's like an asshole. I think they're very much like foils to each other because Angus, they're all little shits. All of the students except for like the little Mormon boy, who is still a little bit of a shit because he like snitches, but like they were about to all get punishment after punishment. You know, I can't say that I wouldn't have done the same thing. And then this like little Korean boy, they're fine. The rest of them, actually, no, let's talk about Mr. Blonde Wig.
Mr. Helicopter.
Yeah, there's this kid, and he's like a jock, but he's like a nice jock. Like, he's not mean at all throughout this movie. But he has this wig that is killing me.
It
Like,
is so bad.
my dad doesn't want me to, or my dad wants me to cut my hair, else I can't come home. So that's why I'm here. And then I didn't really notice it immediately. I didn't notice it at all in the first time I watched this. And then they're sitting at dinner. I'm looking at him. And I'm like, this wig is so bad.
I think I noticed it in that dinner scene the first time I watched it because I was like, why is his wig so bad? Like, I think maybe it's because in the first scene he has a hat on or something because they're outside in the snow. Maybe
Maybe, yeah.
that's what saves it. But like, hat off, I was like, this is a horrendous wig. But yeah, the little Mormon kid seems really sweet, and sad. They're supposed to be like freshmen, I guess. So they're supposed to be like little. And then the other kid, and he starts crying. He's like crying because he misses his family. And
I
I was like,
know.
this is the poor kid. I felt so bad. And like Angus in that moment, I think we get like the first little bit of like, oh, Angus is actually like a nice, chill guy. Because in the moment, he's like, I think he pees his bed, and Angus is like, you can't show him you're weak. Just come here. Like, he was like, just come here. Like, this is fine. Like, yeah, whatever. Like, and he
Just
tries to
roll
save him the
over, I'll help you in the
embarrassment.
morning. Yeah. But I think that they're just like interesting foils that way, him and Koontz, because like everything Koontz does, they're both little shits, but Koontz is like evil. Like he's, and like clearly he has like a lot of problems, but so does Angus, which isn't to say that like there aren't moments where Angus like isn't being rude and a brat, but
True.
he's not. He the only person that he ever really directly takes it out on is Paul, who's kind of like not really giving, like they're kind of like both being shits to each other.
Yeah.
But
I
Koontz
feel
is
like
like, oh, I'm gonna steal this little Mormon boy's glove and throw it into the river. Oh, I'm going to take this photo and like draw all over it, and like, yeah, it's clearly like sentimental to him. And then Angus is just like, I'm gonna run around this school and quote you to your face and break my own arm. Well, he doesn't break it, he dislocates his shoulder. I'm going to attempt to
Yeah.
call a hotel for me to stay at. Yeah.
Yeah, Kunz is literally evil. Like, that kid is evil. He deserves that snow burn he gets at the end. He's like, literally, they're just having dinner. Mary is made dinner for them because she's the only person on staff during the winter. And she made them dinner. And he's, first of all, rude about the dinner. And then, second of all, Paul invites Mary to come eat with them because she just spent the whole afternoon making them dinner. Like, you know, and she's the only one there. So, like, why wouldn't she come eat with them? And he gives the nastiest look. Like, he does not want Mary there at all. And it is so sick and sinister and evil. And I was like, I hope this kid gets what he deserves. A snow burn was not enough for me. It wasn't.
It was satisfying though to watch Paul like lay into him.
Yeah.
Because he really gives him what he deserves. He's like, you have no idea what this woman has been through. Like, you're just lucky that you were born rich, you were born white, and you get to go to this school. Like, you have not earned anything that has come to you, which is like another thing. Like, we see throughout the movie that like Angus has been sus no, not suspended, expelled 3 times.
Yeah.
But he has really good grades. Like, he's in the top of his class, like maybe not like the top, but he's trying his best like academically, and he's even like quoting Latin back to Paul at some point. So he's clearly like paying attention in class. And then there's moments where like Paul will say things to Kuntz and Kuntz is like, what? And he's like, exactly.
No, literally, like he has like that first scene in the school is Paul like in the class with the boys, is like Paul handing out the grades of, I guess it was like a midterm or something. Why are all of these boys failing history? Like, why is everyone failing so bad at it? Like, maybe we grew up in like FCAT world of like you have to have decent grades, but like how is everyone failing at the private school? Like everyone, like they're all just doing bad. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, I do think part of it, I was going to say that like this is in the mindset of me that I was about to say this, knowing that I tried my best in school, being like, you know how when you have those professors in college that are like you know there's no way that we all failed like just because we
That's how
didn't
I feel about
try.
it.
But then at the same time, like you see Kunz and you're like, well, maybe that's true. Maybe they just didn't try.
So my thing is, I was like, how did they all fail? Like, all of them? There's some disconnect happening. But yeah,
Probably a bit of both. Like, he
maybe he
does seem
didn't
to
try at
be,
all.
yeah, he does seem to be purposely making the test harder. Like, at one point, Angus, just like another example of how, like, he's not the worst. You know, he genuinely, maybe for like selfish reasons, but he's like, I'm gonna get us all out of class quickly. And they've just been told that, like, because they're all like, are you kidding me? Like, okay, that's my thing too. I don't know. We're so f different from the boys in this movie. We're two women of color who grew up in Florida in public school. So maybe I'm
Very,
just like
very
not in the
true.
brain of
Very
these
true. Maybe we
boys.
just don't know. Maybe we for real don't know. Like,
But like, Angus is like, yeah, I guess my point was just they're all like, oh, come on, like all of us failed, like give us another try. And I was about to say that like maybe they wouldn't be so upset if they had like not tried, because like if they had not tried, maybe they would have just been like, yeah, makes sense. But like they're rich, so maybe they expect to be passed just for like being there. I don't know.
yeah,
I'm
because I think
inclined to
Angus
believe
did
some
pass
of
the
them
test.
tried. Yeah, he did. I think he got like a B or something. I don't remember the letters.
Yeah. But like, and he did try to stand up, and then everyone hated him afterwards because it turns out they got released from class, but they had no retake and had to read more chapters. After
He
that,
was
everyone was
just
like,
trying to
"You
do
suck,
something. Like,
Angus."
oh,
But
yes,
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. I think that, like, and then like obviously they have the break or whatever, and like when they come back, him and Paul understand each other a little more, like they get each other. But I think like the whole road trip thing, and like I feel like them understanding each other a lot deeper, kind of like I think that Paul sees himself in Angus in a way at certain points. Like the way they both freak out, that like montage right after he like dislocates his arm, and they're both kind of like yelling at each other, being like, "What am I gonna do now?" And he's like, "What are you gonna do? My arm's broken." And then they're
He's
like
like,
running back and forth, scraping the ice off the car while Angus is standing there holding his arm.
and the
And
first time
like,
I saw that, I was like, is he like faking screaming right now? And then you get the like the craziest like wheel transition thing, and he's like, open
it's like,
the door.
Yeah, and he's like, get the toy off him. And then like in the card, he's like, I didn't expect you to actually wipe your hands if you like washing your hands. I know it's not literal. And it was just they're bickering.
Paul is like,
And then
this is not my fault. I wash my hands of you. And he's like, oh, you wash your hands. And he's like, I didn't mean it like that. And he's like, no, I thought you were gonna wash your hands. I know you didn't mean it.
they get to the hospital, and this is like the first time that like Angus lies for Paul, and like they lie for each other. It's a very like they have kind of parallel stories in that way, where like Angus lies for Paul to get his arm fixed, and then later on, Paul also kind of lies, and Angus goes along with it to help him. And so Barton men don't lie, but they will in certain ways, and they kind of learn from each other. I also think that like the scene where Angus drops his antidepressants, and like was it an antidepressant, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember
Yeah.
the specific name of it, but.
It was Librium, I think. But
Oh,
like he
yeah.
drops it, and Paul is like, oh, what's this? And Angus is like very clearly trying to deflect, and he just like takes it and runs in to like get ready. And then like Paul just takes out his own bottle, stares at it, and then takes his. It was like, dang. Like, damn. You know? It seems like, I don't know, he sees a little bit more of himself in him.
I guess it was. Ooh. I was gonna say that was all my main thoughts, but like, what are some like little moments? Like, do you have any like favorite moments? Because I have some in mind.
I think definitely that montage of like when they're running to the hospital. I think also the little moments where they're trying to get the Cherries Jubilee. And he's like, what kind of a fascist hatch are you running around here? And then
Literally.
Mary's like, do you have cherries? Do you have ice cream? Can you put them in a box and give us the check? And then the lady walks away and she's like, bitch. Like, yeah. Like,
No,
they
literally,
make it
like,
in the parking lot and light it on fire.
on top of a car.
Top of a car.
That was stressing me out. I'm like, you are going to explode this car.
Nah. Then it falls on the ground. Like they don't even actually get to eat the Cherries Jubilee. But that's all he wanted. They were like, just get this boy his Cherries Jubilee.
No, literally, fuck a dessert where you have to be a certain age. Because I remember being so frustrated, like the years before I was 21. I just want like a little cake, like a rum cake, and they'd be like, you have to be 21. I'm like, this would not even intoxicate a 13-year-old. Just give me the cake. Just give it to me.
You have cake? You put it in the box?
No, and then they're like, okay, well, then we'll order it. And they're like clearly intending to let him taste some. And she's like, I can't do that. And I'm like, why not?
God.
You don't know anything.
It's literally cherries. Like the way it's literally cherries and ice cream, it
And it
reminded
burns
me of a
off. It
time.
does burn off.
Yeah, it burns off. I remember one time I was at, this is a completely dissimilar situation. But the phrasing is similar. I was a child in the back of a car as my grandma pulled into a Burger King and was like, hey, do you have a Coke float? And they were like, no, we don't. And she goes, do you have Coke? And they were like, yeah. And she was like,
You got ice
do you
cream.
have ice cream? I just remember this so clearly, the guy being like, yes. And then she goes, do you have a cup? He was like, yeah. And she was like, can you sell me all three of those things? He was like, yes, ma'am. She was like, thank you.
She's so real for that.
So quickly, it's like, oh. But yeah, I love that moment. I love the moment where they're doing the fireworks for New Year's in the kitchen. And they're just there. I love those moments where they use kind of the older versions of a Christmas song. I think it's really hard when I watch a Christmas movie and they try to throw a Christmas classic in there, and I'm like, this is not fitting the vibe. Like Vanessa Hudgens is in here. Like I just don't feel like she has the Bing Crosby Winter Wonderland face. Like, you know? So but I think they work so good here, and it was really nice.
Everyone here has the Bing Crosby 70s look about them.
Yeah, but I really like the music in the movie in general, but also like the classics are good. What other little moments did you have?
The Cherries Jubilee moment was like a big one for me. Some little notes here and there that I just wrote was I wrote, where did it go? Gotta love an empty church except for us trope.
Real.
The trope where it's like just one or two char one character in the church pondering life, and then another character, especially when you get the dynamic of like the one character that usually doesn't go to church in the church pondering things, and then the character that is religious coming in and being like, oh, you're here too? I come here all the time. Like, it happens a lot in movies.
Does it's so Home Alone does it, you know, all the greats do it.
All the great
Sometimes
Christmas movies.
when I'm at my wit's end, I'm like, damn, I feel like I need one of these moments, like I need to go and find my just because I've seen it in movies and I'm like, that seems so peaceful, like
You call a church and you're like, are y'all empty today?
no
They're
me.
like, yeah. You're like, can I come in? Like, sure.
But yeah, I think one last moment that I really loved for me was when Mary goes to see her sister and they're just sitting there on the bed and they're just like talking and chatting and like catching up. And I think it's like one of the first times in the movie that I see Mary so happy, like having that moment with her sister. I just love sisterhood. I love sisterhood so much.
I love them wearing similar outfits when she goes to hug her. Yeah. And so cute. Yeah, I guess that was all of my thoughts. So yeah. I guess
Oh.
I had like, oh yeah.
Oh no, go ahead. Mine's kind of like
Oh.
frivolous.
Okay. I just had like one little fact because I feel like a lot of people have already like said fun facts about this movie if you've been on this movie for a while. So I was like, you know, I'm not going to repeat any that I already know, but I did find out something new, to me at least, which was like, I knew that they found Dominic Sessa, who plays Angus, at this school, or at a school in the area. I didn't know it was literally this school because I was like looking at TikToks of like just like holdovers content. And he gets asked about filming, and he's like, yeah, it was like really like Twilight Zone to be filming in this school that I went to while we're on, he said spring break. I was like,
Yeah.
it was snowing like this in the springtime?
So I looked at
Crazy.
like it was a found fact, a fun fact that I saw, but apparently it was like, oh, it says February break. So there was a snowstorm that happened, and then they just took advantage of it to film like the like beginning intro shots and like a lot of the outside scenes. Because it was like all practical, which is I love a practical
I
shot.
love it. Oh, just the scene where for like okay. All of the transitions are so funny. Like I love this. Which are like real transitions that they would have used in the 70s. Like no one would have blinked an eye at them. But especially the shot where he's like looking for Angus. Like Angus, or he says like Tully or something like that. And he screams and it like quickly zooms out.
Literally, I love it. My note was, I'm so Paul, stretching before bed, trying to read, pretending to love being single, can't dream a whole dream.
Oh, the can't dream a whole dream line.
Literally.
I wrote, Paul Giamatti in this movie is me if I didn't contain every thought about Percy Jackson that came to my mind. Whole movie, he's like,
To that bowling alley.
yeah, he's like at this bar and he's talking to these people who like could not care less. And he's talking about like some Greek, Latin stuff. And he does that so much throughout the movie. He's just like talking about Greek or Latin history or like Roman history. No one cares. And I'm like, this is me with Greek mythology and Percy Jackson. If I actually said everything that I thought of, like one time, I'll never forget this. It was recent too, like past a year or two. I just like have Percy Jackson on the brain so much, and I didn't even do this intentionally. I feel so cringe just saying this. I compared something to like tasting like ambrosia, and that was just like genuinely like what came to my mouth. And everyone was like, huh? They were like, Isabel, that's not a thing that people say.
It never left you.
I was like, leave me
It
alone,
never
okay?
leaves.
So yeah, literally me for real.
Oh my gosh. Did you have any letterboxed reviews?
A lot of them were just like so genuine that I was like, I can't even find a like a hee ha one for me to say. So I'm shouting out my brother. His was funny. I guess I'll give you that. He said, quote, Barton boys never lie. You are the big fat liar.
Wait, I kind of love that.
Which I did not
Wait.
know. Paul Giamatti was the titular liar in the Big Fat
I watched that movie so much as a kid. I do not know how to tell you. I've seen that movie countless times. It is unmatched. I think we killed this DVD that we had it on because we watched it so much.
Liar. Want to know something crazy?
No, you've never seen
No, I have.
it?
But I stopped watching it because there's a scene where they're in like the Universal Studios like warehouse or something, right? I'm thinking the right movie, right?
Yes.
You know where I'm going with this?
Is it
And there
because?
is like a little statue of E.T. And it made me piss myself so hard, metaphorically, that I was like, I can't watch this movie ever again because he'll be there waiting for me. And I don't want to look at him. He scares me so bad. And so like now it's been enough time that I could easily watch this movie again. But at the time, when I was first traumatized, one day we will explain, because I don't think we've ever fully explained how I became traumatized. I'll just allude to it. But like when I first became ET traumatized, you could not even say his name without me having like a mental breakdown. So like I was especially not in a place where I could like just watch this movie and like I couldn't even close my eyes. Like if I just knew that this scene was coming up, like I would
Two
have been
second clip.
shaking in my boots. So I was like, I can't ever see this movie again.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay, that's we should rewatch
I
it.
mean, I would be down.
Okay.
I see him, I'm like,
No.
stay away from me. Yeah,
Oh,
that's
did
the
you not
only
have
one I had.
a okay.
Because I mean, like,
I
a
have
lot of
one
them were
from
just like, yeah, a lot of them were just more of like what we've said throughout this whole episode. Yeah, what about you?
I have this one. It's by Brian, who gave 4 stars. Three lost souls with compassionate hearts spend a bittersweet Christmas conjointly. Beauty of the 70s in a killer color palette unfolds. This is as an instant holiday classic. Divine Joy Randolph deserves all her flowers and more. Mother Quake.
Other quick, you know that tweet that's like, gay people can't ever just like compliment something, they're always like, moved to the cunt factory, packaging mother
Yeah.
queen sleigh boots.
No, literally. And then the other one I had, oddly enough, is by my sister.
Oh.
Gave it 3.5. Made me want to move up north and be kind of happy in a sad way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were mine.
So I don't know if you said this is a joke, but I took it seriously. You texted me and you were like,
Oh, wait, how many
yeah.
stars?
How many did I get? I think I gave it 4.5 stars, which, like, yeah, I'll stick to that.
How many should I give it? I gave it 4. Yeah, I really liked it. Dang. Anyway, continue.
A new Christmas classic.
Did you hear
Yeah,
that he doesn't
so
like that?
no, I didn't hear that.
The
What?
director was like, I
Oh,
don't
okay, the
like that
director.
people call it like Christmas. Bro, it's good. I feel like Christmas classics are something that live on for forever.
They get
Like,
rewatched more.
yeah. Like, people
Especially
from
like
different
when
generations
they're
would love your movie forever.
Yeah, like people are still out here watching like It's a Wonderful Life. Not me. I've never seen that movie. But
Me
someone
either.
out there. Like people still watch it every year. I still watch like Home Alone every year because I like especially Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
You have very similar vibes. Obviously, one has a lot more heavy subject matter, but like, you know, both of them are just like little white boys getting left alone on Christmas. So like, you know, maybe that's why I like this movie so much.
Gosh.
I love Home Alone 2. But yeah. So you texted me and you were like, since we can't recast because this movie just came out, what if we, because you and me, we heard that there is supposed to be not one, not two, but four Beatles biopics, which I was like, am I being pranked right now? Am I unpranked? Oh, no one asked for this.
Like all the same director, right? Like you need to direct all
Yes,
four, and
it's
it's like
literally like,
each one is for each one or something like that.
yes. And I'm like, N we don't need this. No one needs this. Who asked for this? We don't want it. And so I sent that to you and I was like, we don't need this. And you were like, I concur. And then you were like, let's, since we can't recast the holdovers this week, let's attempt to recast, or not recast, to cast the Beatles, but like in the most ridiculous way that we can think of. So what did you have? Did you? Oh
So
boy.
I've been seeing these on my For You page, like random ones where they'll be like that one guy that, what's his name? He directed like all of those movies that are orange.
Wes Anderson?
Yeah, Wes Anderson, that one guy he loves. And they're like, they just give him a different haircut. And they're like, he could play all four. So I've just been seeing them, or like them being like Jack Black can play George, like it's just random ones. Anyway, for my selection for George, well, let's start with the two biggies. For Paul, I chose Chris Evans.
Hello?
McCartney. For John Lennon, I've chosen Chris Pratt.
You choose all Chris's.
For George, I chose Chris Pine. And for Ringo, I have chosen Chris Hemsworth. Chris's of Hollywood will be the four Beatles where I think only one of them is like not American. So, you know, remember how in every episode I'm like, the British are taking our jobs. We're taking them back with this Beatles biopic.
No, I was literally thinking that when I was like thinking of people, I was like, what if like as a joke, we purposely make them all American? I didn't go
That's
with
what I
that. I
did,
mean,
except for Chris Hemsworth.
I haven't really like thought to stop and think if any of my people are, I think they're all American by coincidence, not intentionally. Some of them could be Canadian. I don't know their life story.
Who did you pick?
Okay, some of these have multiple. Because I was like, I can't decide, okay?
Okay.
So for Paul McCartney, I picked JoJo from Horton Hears a Who. Kind of has like hairstyle. He is voiced by Paul, not Paul, by Jesse
Yes, see,
McCartney.
that's
Which
hilarious.
I didn't even realize until just now. So, you know, there you go. And then for Ringo, I cast Ringo from Ringo. Like the lizard.
Oh, I thought you meant you cast Ringo as himself, which I was going to do. I was considering casting Ringo as
Is he
himself.
alive?
Yes.
I don't know. Literally, when I went to Google to do this and to look people up, I was like, wait a minute. But not real quick. The Beatles members labeled. Because I know all their names, but like besides Paul McCartney, I couldn't tell you which one is which. Maybe I'd have like a better chance at telling you which one was like John Lennon, but especially like in their earlier days, like no shot.
When
So
they
I
all
did
had
have to
that
look up a
bob.
photo. Yeah. Dude, if a Beatles fan listens to this, I'm so sorry.
We're just
But
having a
yeah.
little fun.
For John Lennon, I put Paul Dano for one option.
Okay.
Just because, like, I think he's like a funny little guy, but also he is like a serious actor. So I was like, that doesn't feel good enough for this
Okay.
specific recasting. And I did do it because he specifically does kind of look like him. Because sometimes I just sat there and stared at their faces and was like, what actors look like them that could be funny? And I think Paul Dano's funny, but he is also a genuinely good actor. So maybe that one's a little too real. Because, like, if it came out that he was playing him, I'd be like, yeah, makes sense. I also put Chris Fleming, the comedian. You know, the comedian that's like,
I know exactly who you're talking about.
yeah. I'm like, I can't even think of like a specific bit that like enough people would know. You just gotta look him up. He's hilarious. If you don't know who he is, anyone who's listening to this, you should look him up. I think he would be a hilarious John Lennon. And then I have three options for George Harrison, none of which are particularly funny. But first I have Austin Abrams, who's like the little like snotty guy from he's been in other things. He's been in Dash and Lily, but he's like the snotty ex-boyfriend from Do Revenge. And he looks
Yeah.
like him. Like he looks like him. I also put Austin Butler because like did not even care whether or not Austin Butler looks
We
like
will
him.
never get rid of that British accent ever
I think
again.
it's like let's just like make him keep doing accents.
I'm keeping them for like years after.
Yeah, and then last but not least for George Harrison, I put Dominic Sessa. I was like, it would work. Yeah, didn't. Obviously, I cast a animated lizard for one of these, so I wasn't particularly concerned about age or what point in their lives the biopics start from, you know? So, yeah.
I start casting Chris's, and one of them is shredded Chris Hemsworth to play this petite Ringo Starr. So, we got
I need them in like purposely tinier
Chris
wigs than their
Bob. Just put
really
a
for John
bob on
Lennon, like
all
really tiny circular glasses. Yeah. What did you love this week?
Did I love? Let's see. I've loved that one guy who sings to celebrities on TikTok. I did a deep dive onto his TikTok account, and I was like, this is hilarious.
Have you seen like everything that's like happening with him right now?
No, what happened?
Oh my gosh, this is crazy. I love how we're on different but like similar sides of TikTok sometimes. So basically, Billie Eilish was in the table or whatever, and then they sent all these
Yeah.
people from TikTok, including this guy that you're talking about. And he's like they send them to like stand kind of off to the side. So there was like this controversy because Billie apparently like there's TikTokers over there, and she said it kind of like TikTokers derogatory, and people are like, wow, she's like She thinks she's so all that, and like she doesn't even want to associate with TikTokers. And people were like, I mean, she's not wrong. There were TikTokers over there. And like apparently, people were like, she might have been saying it with like a negative connotation because of this guy that you're talking about, who apparently was like, I might have seen someone say that he was like rude, but like what else is new? But like he was asking every single person that he came across, like gay son or thought daughter. It's not like like I don't want to
Like,
scare you.
why did
Like
he
this isn't the
ask
world's.
that?
Yeah, I'm like he's not under like the world's worst. I wouldn't even call it like a controversy, but people are just like, dude, what? Like they're all like upset at him because like he asked America Ferrera, gay son or thought daughter, and he also asked Ariana Greenblatt. And I was like, I don't think she cares. I'm sure she knows what the meme is. But America Ferrera?
I think that's where I am not as on board with him. Like watching the ones where it's young people who either know who he is or kind of like get the joke, those are funny. So I saw like the one with Ariana Greenblatt, and she is living in that moment. She is so excited to have seen him. Even the one kind of with Billie Eilish, like she's low-key laughing with him, and she's like, "Not you again, ha ha ha," or like whatever. Like with young people, I saw one with Omar Apollo, and
He loves
he's
it.
like, "Sing it, bitch!" Like sing. It's like,
Yeah, no, out of the context of like him maybe being rude, I think that those videos are so funny. When they clearly are like into it.
the ones where they don't know, I'm like, oh, this is so cringe,
Painful.
but the ones where they know, it's so funny.
Because
Let's see what
especially because it's
else.
gotten to a point where like they've clearly staged him running into these people, so it's not like they're being like disturbed on their day out or something.
Yeah, I agree. I also have been watching a lot of, I keep getting TikTok videos of like WhatsApp mom messages with like, good morning, and it's like minions and stuff, but the background song is super inappropriate. And so it'll be like a pretty explicit Bad Bunny song in the background, and it'll be like Tweety Bird or Minions being like, "Happy Friday, I hope the blessings are like carrying you." And those are so funny to me. They have been so humorous to me, and I just keep getting them and I keep laughing about them, and they're hilarious. I guess something else I've been obsessed with, clearly from my other two things, is being on that phone. I have been on that phone like it's my job. I need to be stopped. I must be stopped. Oh, one not on that phone thing. I went to one of my first conferences.
Ooh.
Yay. To present research. And let me tell you, I got a knockoff Stanley Cup research. That's like a research knockoff Stanley, research Stanley, if you will. It's absolutely massive, and I'm kind of obsessed with it. I still have not taken my first sip, but this
The
is it's a
photo.
spring conference. Holding a photo of it because it's in my drying rack right now. I had to wash it, so I just had
It's
to show
just
you a
so funny
picture
that you
of the
even
cup.
have a photo. What is the
I had to
context?
show off my research Stanley.
Stop, that's so funny. Hopefully it doesn't have lead in it.
Oh, anyway,
That's a thing that with the
think
real
about it.
Stanleys.
Yeah, hopefully my knockoff is more genuine.
That's a
I know.
Hopefully my
Anyway.
knockoff is more genuine.
Healthy and safer. But what have you loved?
So I don't know if I would say that I quite love this yet, but I bought a notebook to start journaling because I was listening to the like Smosh Mouth podcast at work, and they were all going through like their past diaries, a lot of which were from when they were like children or like queens. But there were some entries that they read where they were like in their late teens, early 20s. And I was never like the type of kid to like have a consistent journal. But I was like, I'm jealous that they have this to like look back on and see what they were thinking when they were that age. And like, I have some stuff like that where I did attempt to start that as a kid, but I don't know where they are now. And like, it was never like I would write like one thing and then never touch it for like another 3 years. So, and then like, you know, I've thought about starting something like that, but every time that I have, I've just been like, I'm 23 now. What else is there about life to record? Which is stupid.
What?
Like,
That's, I hope to
okay,
let I hope to tell you that like even this podcast, probably listening to some of our first episodes, the difference between that and now is probably a lot.
I always knew that, but like, I never really thought enough about it or like cared enough about it to be like, that's stupid. I should start one. I just have always been kind of like, eh. The most exciting years of my life are past, which is not
What?
true.
What?
But
Oh my gosh.
anyways, so
I'm
I've started
sorry.
one.
What?
I'm mostly joking when I say that. It just like genuinely like did not cross my mind. I've just okay. Let me rephrase it. Every time that I briefly thought or considered starting a journal, I've just been kind of like. The years that I think would be funny, like most funny to look back on and read about are already past. So, like, not necessarily that I don't think that anything insightful is to be gained from writing about like my current life at my current age, but like, whenever I thought about it in the framework of like a future me looking back and reading these things and being like, oh, that's so funny that like I was a kid and I misspelled things, or I was a kid and this is like all the drama that was happening in my life because I was a child and like had lesser problems. But like I had never thought of it as like a way of recording my genuine development. I always thought of it in the context of like future me reaping the rewards, which I guess is still a little bit of like my mindset right now. But the reasons that I'm doing it is more just like for like just like seeing what life was like back then, and not necessarily so that I can invest in this idea of like a future me being like, that's so funny, I was so stupid. So that's like why I haven't started it until now, but I have started it, and the first two entries, I don't want to like do it every day because I don't want it to start to feel like a chore. So I only really write anything when something comes to me. It's usually something that's like a bit of a downer. And I'm like, I need to write
Me,
happiest.
I've had a journal for like 3 years, but I only write in it and I like look back at some of the pages and I'm like, oh,
No,
this
because
one
like
was a
if I'm
bad one.
happy and I'm chilling, like, I'm not gonna think to write anything because I'm like enjoying the moment. But if I'm like, nobody understands me, I'm gonna go write in my journal
Nobody in this party knows how cool and
that I have
chill
a
I am,
podcast.
but I have a podcast.
So yeah, so there's that. Also, okay, here's the thing that I don't think we've recorded an episode since before Valentine's Day. So a lot of this
Yeah.
was spurred by feelings of loneliness,
Oh.
which I say funnily. Okay, I don't want anyone to be like, oh, but I deleted all of my dating apps. It is both freeing and also, I feel like I'm gnawing on my leg. I feel like a dog gnawing on my leg because it feels like a mini game at this point. Because I've had dating apps for like so long, but I've only ever gone on two dates from them. And so I'm just used to opening them, being like, I love this game, closing it. And it creates this like addiction. It's like a small addiction to them where I'm like, oh, I'm bored. I'm gonna like go on dating apps and like see what's there. And then I'm gonna close it and nothing's gonna come out of it because nothing ever does. And so I just deleted them because I was like, especially like right now, Hinge is being like sued because they have like admitted to like purposely, I don't know if they admitted to it, but like there's evidence that they purposely pretty much make it impossible For you to find like a genuine match, like they keep all of the people who they think that you'll relate to or like connect with in Rose Jail, and they have like options for like annual subscriptions, and people are like, why is there an annual subscription option if this app is supposedly meant to be deleted? You know? And so I was like, clearly like these apps are just like preying on my own loneliness and my own boredom. So I'm just going to delete them. But man, sometimes it's really hard not to download them again. 'Cause I'm just like, it was my favorite game. I was like, you got games on your phone? I'm like, yeah, here's my Hinge profile.
Me, me. I've also had Hinge, and I was like, this is just not work. Like, this is not working at all. And so then I got Bumble. I don't know why I thought this would be any better. I'm not gonna talk to people first. Like, I hate to say it, I'm just bad at it. 'Cause like, literally, all I know to do is be like, hey, hey, people. And so. I get what you mean because then I delete them and then I'm like scratching at my cage, like, yep.
Yeah. It just like I could literally make like an entire episode just us talking about dating apps if the topic of this podcast were not, yeah, but I could go off about it for a hot minute, but I'll maybe save it for another time where it's more relevant. But yeah. And then last but not least, I love Brooke Avrick's new podcast, Obsessed with Brooke. Not obsessed with herself, but like obsessed with Brooke Avrick, you know? Like, there's multiple podcasts called Obsessed. It's not important. Anyways, she says everything that is in my brain constantly. Like, her specific interests and the intersection of those interests, and then mine, a Venn diagram. Like, she, just like the things, maybe not Criminal Minds, maybe not everything, but like reading ACOTAR. Specifically, like Spring Awakening for like people who like theater is not like a small, like unheard of, only off-Broadway production, you know? But like, I don't have a lot of friends who know what that is, really. And the friends that I do have that do know what it is are former theater kids or current theater kids who don't like that musical. And so, just like, hearing her talk about it, I was like, oh my gosh, she knows about Spring Awakening. We would be best friends. Or like her most recent episode, she had Andrew Barth Feldman come on and she was like, I saw you in Hamilton and you did this, this, and this, and like talking about all these other things that sometimes I'm the only person in the world that keeps up with this stuff. She talks about these things all the time. And she talks about other things besides musicals that also align with my interests, but I'm just like, I can't remember them right now because like musical stuff is the most re Oh, she talks about like the Very Potter, I mean this is still musicals, like, but the Very Potter musicals with someone at some point. And the number of people who don't know what that is, like I thought that we all knew what that was.
Yeah,
It was pretty viral.
it was pretty popular. Like, even just clips of it were very
Yeah.
popular.
But lately I'll be like, I'll ask people, I'm like, oh, you know, like these things. And they're like, no. I'm like, what? That's like if you told me that you had never heard the Duck Song.
I think it is more millennial though.
Oh, don't say
I
that
think
to me
it
right now.
might be. I think it might be. That's why I'm I that's what I'm thinking. The way you just laid flat down, I know that took something out of you, but I fear it might be more millennial.
Oh, stop, stop. Yeah, that was all I love this week.
I'm sorry to tell you that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Millennial warning jump scare.
No. There was something else where I was like, this is so millennial core of me. It's horrible. Don't remember what it was, though.
Dang. Well.
Man.
Hi.
Love.